Greetings, everyone, and welcome back to the Mark Fraley Podcast. Today is March 7th, 2025. It's an overcast and cool day here in Music City. Thankfully, the weatherman is predicting a warming trend for the weekend. Time to get going on that spring garden cleanup. We are reminded that this is the time of the spring migratory bird migration. So let's all try to keep those outdoor lights to a minimum during this time. Native plants and gardening with native plants has become a frequent subject of this podcast. It really does matter what you plant in your yard. If you're interested in this subject, be sure to check out the program archives. There will be programs there that will be of interest to you. See especially the interviews with Doug Talamay and with Mike Berkeley. Also, the session with John Seymour of Roundstone Native Seeds is quite popular. My guest today is Bethany Crandall, co-director and co-founder of Neighbors for Native Plants. Now, these are a couple of energetic Nashville citizens who have come together to make it easier and less expensive to obtain desirable native plants for your garden and landscape projects. As you will hear, they have two native plant sales each year, through which they make available affordable and curated native plant kits. As you might guess, now is the time to get your order in. Check them out at neighborsfornatives.org. That's neighbors, the numeral four, natives.org. And we will get started with our interview right after this brief message.
Hi, this is Heather Lose, Editor-in-Chief of the Tennessee Conservationist Magazine. Every year, we publish six beautiful issues packed full of timely and informative stories about Tennessee culture, people, and places. You can stay informed about your world and all the great things happening in your Tennessee state parks. It's easy to subscribe. Just go to our website at tnconservationist.org. Thank you.
Bethany Crandall, welcome to the Mark Fraley Podcast.
Thank you for having me.
Bethany, we're here today to talk about your organization, Neighbors for Native Plants. Mm-hmm. And so I want to give you every opportunity to promote what you're doing there and to hear about your organization and let my listeners hear about it.
Awesome.
So, Tell me about yourself and tell me about how this organization got started.
Well, I started gardening in my early 30s because I had a lot of children and I was stressed, and I found deep satisfaction and, you know, self-care through the process of gardening. I did not yet know about native plants at that point, but a couple years ago, a friend introduced me to this woman named Bika, and we started talking around a campfire. And she had just read a book called Nature's Best Hope by Doug Talamay, which many people are familiar with, kind of the seminal work of this movement.
Right.
And we just couldn't stop talking. We were excited. We both felt very energized just by this concept, as many people are.
Right.
So we said, what if we got some friends together and we all went in on one, you know, flat of milkweed plants, because sourcing plants can be challenging. And again, busy families, busy lives. Some people don't even have time to shop for them. So that was kind of the idea. Good. And then Bika's a real go-getter.
Good.
So she didn't let it rest, which I am eternally grateful for. And we got about 40 families in the spring of 2023 to go in on this idea, and we researched the kits. And so we got about 600 plants to mostly East Nashville backyards. So it was really fun. We got a lot of energy from it, and we were like, all right, let's do it again in the fall. And so we became an organization so that we were doing everything correctly.
Right.
And
you're a 501c3.
Yep.
So it's a not-for-profit organization.
Correct.
That if people, make a donation to, that they can write that off on their tax return, et cetera, et cetera.
Yep. But we mostly are just focused on these two plant sales per year. Okay. And trying to get the plants as our goal is to get as many plants to people as we can, and to expand the ecological footprints of Nashville's parks and green spaces into yards, because as you know, insects and birds need places to land as they migrate, and food sources, and right. sometimes urban areas are really lacking them.
It's been a couple years ago, but you mentioned Doug Talame. Mm-hmm. But Doug was actually a guest on this podcast a couple years ago when he launched his book about the nature of oaks. Mm-hmm. And we talked about that, but you're correct in referencing him, because his first book was Bringing Nature Home.
Yep.
And that's the book that really got the whole native plant thing going, and mm-hmm. getting the public, the general public, mm-hmm. more involved in this native plant movement, so to speak.
I just sent him our story this week, and he wrote back, and he was like, "It's stories like this that keep me going." So we were deeply moved. And,
you know, Dr. Talame's become a pretty famous dude mm-hmm. all around the country and around the world, mm-hmm. but such a nice person, mm-hmm. and as you say, very accessible and mm-hmm. ready to respond to phone calls and emails and that sort of thing.
Yep.
So you all have a plant sale that you do twice a year.
Yep.
And you've got one, there's spring and fall, and that's makes sense for the timing of gardening and that sort of thing.
Yep.
So you've got one going on presently.
Yep, until March 31st.
Okay. Tell us how do people become more informed about what's actually for sale?
Uh-huh. We just have an email list, basically. We just send out one email. We say the kits are available for you to, we have half kits and full kits.
Okay. You have a website?
Yes.
Okay. The website is what?
Neighborsfornativeplants.org.
Okay. And
it's a number.
Neighbors,
four.
The number, yes. Numeral four.
Yep.
Nativeplants.org. Okay. So if people go there,
yep.
they can see you, a picture of you and
that's
your friend
true.
Bika.
Yep.
And then they can see also the kits that are available.
Yes.
Okay. So tell us generally about what these kits are.
So, sorry, I get very excited. We have full and half kits for sun to part sun yards, mm-hmm. and then part shade to full shade yards, although it's pretty hard to get anything to bloom in deep shade.
Okay.
But all of the plants are researched, and we double check and pick them for our region. And then based on how many orders we get, that affects what our final order is for the distributor. And then we have a big pickup party on April 27th. So after you place your order, then everybody comes, and it's a pretty festive occasion. And we've had volunteers say, "I want to stay the whole day to help because I just feel so happy while I'm here." Okay. And
so the orders are placed online.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
And really not an opportunity to phone in an order or anything like that. You just do it online.
We just figured out how to create an online shopping cart.
And now what would be for the garden or nerds, if you mm-hmm. can say, mm-hmm. what would be in the sunny kit?
We've got we try to do different species every time.
Right.
So this time we've got wild senna and lanceleaf coreopsis and southern blue flag iris and I believe rue anemone, but I may be flipping it with the shade kit because some of them can go either way.
Okay.
And then the shade kit has dwarf crested iris, mm-hmm. which I'm very excited about because mm-hmm. it's sometimes hard to find, but you'll see it at Beeman and out in the wild.
Sure.
Oh, I'm blanking now on the other shades because we went through the list for a while.
Okay.
You curate
these rather than having available like 100 different species.
Right.
You have curated this down to 4 or 5 for the sun and 4 or 5 for the shade.
Yes.
Right.
Yep.
And you've made those decisions about what to offer based on what exactly?
Based on, Bika's a very good researcher. She has her PhD, so she deep dives into all the possibilities. And I have been doing it for maybe 12 years, so I've kind of field tested a lot of them in my yard already, and I'm hard on them. So I try to pick ones that are going to be winners. Right. Nothing's 100% guaranteed, obviously, right. And you have to take care of them. But that's it's kind of both of those aspects.
And they're the plants that are attractive to pollinators, mm-hmm. and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. A lot of caterpillar support, which then supports the birds, as they've figured out. But definitely butterflies, honeybees, the pollinators that people are probably the most interested in supporting.
Right, right.
But then you also end up supporting everything.
Okay. Now these plants too, and they're not seeds that you're buying, they're plants, mm-hmm. right? These plants are straight species?
Yes, most of the time. We try to avoid cultivars because that's kind of an area of contention, mm-hmm. in the gardening world.
Mm-hmm.
I personally am not too worried about them, but you know, there are nativars where it's a cultivar of a native.
Right.
If we have a really hard time sourcing something, we might put one in. But for the most part, we try to stick to straight species. And we've tried to go local ecotype, but that is pretty hard to find from nurseries unless mm-hmm. it's a hyper local nursery.
Right.
And there's, you know, genetically, you kind of want some diversity going into the plant for it to have strength long term.
Sure, sure. Now, where do you source these things from?
So we've tried a couple different nurseries. We've worked with Kind Earth Growers in the Northeast. This time we're going with Taylor Creek, which is closer to us. We're trying to reduce our carbon footprint in the shipping.
Mm-hmm.
We would like to find some Tennessee nurseries eventually that can do this, but it's a tricky area to source in volume from because, you know, they're coming out of dormancy at different times and they're alive beings. So you have a limited window to get them to you, to get them out to people, and landscapers and other people are also ordering them, so the mm-hmm. supply and demand is always all over the place. So that's one of the most challenging parts of this initiative, mm-hmm. is just getting the right things in stock in the quantities we have ended up needing. So
okay, so the times for the sale are what now? When does this sale begin and end?
March 1st through 31st.
Okay.
And then in the fall, we haven't decided yet on the fall dates,
right.
because it's dependent, as you know, the every year we may have fall drought and then you have to push it back. And
right.
so that's another variable that we have no control over, and we're always kind of adapting to that.
Okay. And the pickup date for this spring sale
is April 27th. And wanted to add, we do try to have at least one flat of each of the species available that day.
Okay.
So if somebody isn't ready to jump into a whole kit, they can come and just buy one goldenrod and one other thing.
Okay.
And we try to have a few bonus species too. And we've had people come and try to that want like all of the rest of the flat. So come early if you come on the 27th, because people are really starting to get excited.
And
about
this event where they people come and pick up takes place where exactly?
At the Cornelia Fort Air Park, which is it's considered a part of Shelby Bottoms Park.
Right.
It's right by the river. It used to be in an airfield, and it's at 1199 Shadow Lane in East Nashville.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So tell us a little bit more. Now, you were not raised here in Nashville. You came from, Wisconsin?
Yep.
Tell us about that.
I'm from Wisconsin. So I grew up, you know, it's prairie land.
Right.
I was playing amongst native plants and didn't realize it as a child. So kind of learning about them later in life was this really beautiful full circle for me. There's, you know, Aldo Leopold. There's a good tradition of Midwestern conservationists and just a lot of people who really love the land and everything it supports there. So that was definitely taught to me at a young age. And Bika is from Belgium, but she also was raised similarly.
Okay.
So just a deep love of nature and a desire to help and a desire to nurture.
And you became a master gardener here in Tennessee.
Yep. That is more focused on vegetables and herbs and stuff. oftentimes, but they do a really good job, you know, covering trees and daffodils and everything. Right. So, yeah, it was a lovely program. Highly recommended.
When did you graduate from that program? Is this
2020.
Okay.
Yeah, and then I've taken a Cornell side course on landscape design, and I tried to do it in a native-focused way, and that was really great, too.
Very good, very good. Yeah. You know, the there is a program called, the name is going to escape me, Tennessee Smart Yards.
Mm-hmm.
Are you one of a cooperating organization with that program?
Yes, because they promote getting natives into your yard. So right. Julie Berbiglia, who right. oversees the Nashville division of it, she volunteers at our pickup day, and she's such a great resource. We always direct people to talk to her, and right. she's very, very supportive, and she sends out sale announcements when we have the kits available. Right. So right. yeah, this totally syncs up with their
right.
mission.
Right. Well, that, I wanted to point that out. Your website is pretty impressive.
Thank you.
And one of the things that's nice about it is because you do have links there to organizations like the Tennessee Native Plant Society and the Smart Yards program and Tree Nashville
yes,
and
so you know,
all the different organizations. So
yep.
I'd encourage people to open that website up and take a look. You also have other presence on social media.
We try to have a fairly active Instagram, at least during the growing season, just to give people encouragement. And we try to promote a lot of other things that are going on around town because Instagram is very efficient for that.
Mm-hmm.
So how
do we find you on Instagram?
That is also, that is Neighbors Number 4 Native Plants.
Okay.
The at sign.
All so, right.
And that's
right.
also on the website. You can get to it from
you
the top
click,
bar.
You can clip through to get to Instagram.
Yeah, we're not super Facebook active, but I feel like Wild Ones is really good at that. So we're trying. I don't want to take over anybody else's gifts and areas. We're just trying to support and my own experience learning about native plants. I didn't know all these other orgs existed, and there's like weed wrangling for invasives, and there's such a vibrant community of earth lovers doing so many great things here. So,
Well, and you all are into sort of an interesting little niche in this area because, you know, for persons who are interested in just getting involved in native plants and don't know where to start, picking up one of your kits might be a really good place to start.
That was the feedback we've gotten, which we didn't even ask for. Many people have said, I'm overwhelmed. I want to do this, but I don't know how. And they just kind of need a little boost and encouragement.
Well, in the cost of purchasing plants... Mm-hmm. Not to throw down on my or throw off on my the for-profit sector and the people that are in the nursery business, but they can be expensive.
Yeah, and they do die sometimes. You don't control the weather and pests, and so it can be really discouraging. And sometimes people give up because they have put money into it, and it's, you know, so it's good to start small. But I know for me, I was very intimidated by the thought of starting from seed too, and I didn't have a knack for it the way some of my friends do. So having small plants that are already going can be really helpful for beginner gardeners.
What is the cost of these kits?
It's $40 for a half kit and $80 for a full kit.
Okay.
But a full kit is 16 plants. So it's 4 plants each of 4 different species.
Okay, wow. Okay, 16 plants for $80.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, and that will cover, you know, depending on how big they get at maturity, that covers a pretty good space. And we wanted to, the Xerxes Society talks about making sure you have, you know, a big enough patch of milkweed that the bees can find it.
Right.
So if you have more than one each of each species, that's a good thing.
The plants don't necessarily grow in isolation. They like to grow in bunches,
right,
don't they?
Right. Like the prairie.
Right. Now, if a person wanted to install, let's say, the sun kit, what sort of space would they need to install a kit like that?
I mean, probably about 4x4 or 5x5. Okay. Depends on how close you want to put them together.
Right.
Closer is usually better, yeah, because of weed presence, as you know, and our right. Bermuda grass and everything right. here. So
the area may be about the size of a sheet of plywood.
Yeah.
Something
yeah.
like that.
Yeah.
Right?
That's what most people, I think, have. Most of our beginners have started with that.
Right. And you clear that area out mm-hmm. and you can do minimal sort of tilling it up and cleaning off the mm-hmm. the grass and other things that are growing there already.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't need to be turned over too deeply.
Nope. A lot of people have landscaping beds already that they inherited, and so you can tuck them in your existing landscaping.
Right.
Or you can do, you know, a pollinator patch closer to the road by your mailbox that you tend. You know.
Okay. All right. So there's another idea. And do these native plants require a lot of fertilizers?
None.
Okay, that's the cool thing about them, isn't it? Right.
Yep.
And in terms of watering and that sort of thing,
we try to pick drought-tolerant species, which is luckily we have many natives that are that way mm-hmm. here because of the it used to be oak savanna, but you still need to keep an eye on them. Because we do sometimes have prolonged droughts here.
Yeah, especially when we're getting started.
Yes, yes. Yeah. Yep, when their roots are growing. These are all about 6 to 9 months old, so they're called plugs.
Okay.
So they're bigger than a seedling, but it's not something you would purchase quite at a nursery yet in a 1 or 5 gallon bucket.
Right.
But they catch up very fast, mm-hmm. and within the year you have pretty much, it should bloom within the year, and then the next year you really get a good show.
Right. Because they're perennial plants.
Yes, they're right. all perennials.
Right, so this is not a purchase you'll have to make every year in order to keep the garden going.
No, and some of them, like baptisias, can live 100 years.
Right, so. Right. And we've had good luck with the... I noticed that you have an aster
mm-hmm.
that's in as part of your sun group.
Yes. The rue anemone is in the shade, I think, right. in the
asters. In the asters. It's a blue aster or something like that. But
yeah.
they do full sun, and boy, they do grow nicely.
Yep.
And they outcompete the weeds
yes.
once they get established.
Yep.
Right.
Yeah, there's so many asters out there that are just wonderful.
Yeah. Okay. Well, maybe those are some tips and maybe some incentives for people to get involved, because the native plants are great for the environment,
mm-hmm.
and they really don't take that much care and feeding.
No, I started with roses, like English and French roses, and those are high maintenance. And then when I learned about these, you can almost neglect them sometimes, and they'll just keep on going.
Right. So. Lots of benefits and really not a lot of inputs
yep.
necessarily.
Yep.
Okay.
And we've gotten that feedback now that we're 2 years in, just from other busy families, that they just say, we love doing this with our kids. You know, it gets us outside, we check on them, but it's not stressing them out or overwhelming them.
Let me ask you this. What do you use, if anything, as mulch in your garden?
So I've been on a journey with this, as many, many people are. I try to do leaf mulching in the fall just to get the nutrients from that. I am now just trying to do green mulch or ground covers. That's kind of the way the gardening movement is going.
Mm-hmm.
But that is also expensive and challenging to figure out what works really well in your particular garden. So that's probably more of an intermediate or advanced way to approach it. I think wood chips are fine if you're just getting started.
Or pine straw
yes,
works good.
That's how I started.
Sure, yeah.
And that
yeah.
worked well.
Yep.
So yeah, there's a lot of options, but it doesn't have to be overwhelming.
You know, it's interesting. One of the early guests on this podcast was a fellow named Mike Berkeley.
Mm.
Okay.
Yep.
And Mike is well known as the proprietor of the Grow Wild Nursery
mm-hmm.
in Fairview.
Mm-hmm.
And we talk frequently about styles of gardening,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that there was a time when in order to have a garden that looked cared for,
mm-hmm.
You had one plant or a bunch of plants here that were mulched around. And then you had space where there was nothing but mulch,
mm-hmm.
and then another showpiece to But what you're suggesting with using green mulch was not is avoiding that those spaces between the plants.
Yep.
But rather putting more plants in there.
Yeah, right? You're restoring an ecosystem in your yard, basically, which is so fulfilling and beautiful. It's really beautiful. Right. It is an aesthetic shift because it is more of a woodland look, or, you know, depending. There are ways to do it that are HOA friendly, and then there are more experimental ways. So you just have to figure out what works for you.
I noticed on your plant list that there was a sedge involved in your shady type garden area.
This is our first year offering a sedge.
Right. And I thought that was very good, and I knew that sedge is often used as a space, as a plant between other things.
Yes, that's what we're hoping people will do with it. Right. You can also edge with them if you want to just dip your toe in. Right. I think a lot of beginners think, I don't want just some grasses. Like, I want pretty flowers, and that's what brings the bees and butterflies. But sedges also serve a really important role if you are approaching it like an ecosystem restoration.
You know, I encourage people, you mentioned sort of offhandedly in our conversation here today, that the Nashville Basin used to be sort of an oak savanna, okay? And I think people should be more aware of that because the sedges and other native grasses, I shouldn't refer to sedges as grasses because they're not.
Right, they're their own thing.
They're their own thing, but grass-like plants occur in those in those oak savanna ecosystems, and they occur here naturally, and so growing what occurs naturally in your yard is a good idea.
And
sometimes they'll
just show up. Like, you'll find certain plants and sedges that were already waiting in the seed bank, and that's very exciting.
Which is what has happened in my yard here.
Nice.
But you know what? I was not aware enough of what I was observing to distinguish what they were until my friend Mike, that I just was talking about, came in and says, you know, you've got native sedges growing here. So encourage people to get out and look at their yards and what's growing out there in places that are untended and that haven't been disturbed.
Yep.
Because oftentimes you'll see the native things coming through.
Yep. And some of the plants we've offered in the kits, people now know how to recognize them when they're at Shelby or Beeman or Warner, which I know it seems it could, from a supply and demand or scarcity mindset, it's like, well, why would I want to add that plant to my yard if it's already out there? But they're struggling and they need our help, and they're beautiful.
Are there places that you like to go and to see other native plant garden type places?
Yes. Anytime I can tour someone's house like yours, it's so encouraging. Anytime I'm on the road, I will just notice more and more cities are adding natives to their landscaping. So as you get deeper into this, you start to spot milkweed in places. Mm-hmm. And so I also try to hit up, there are native plant nurseries. You know, my husband's family lives in North Carolina, so I've probably found every single one within a multi-hour radius. Right. You know, once you get the bug, it's like people who hunt down bourbon. You're like hunting down that one species that's hard to source, and it's fun.
Well, I really do encourage our gardening community and reaching out and speaking out to the master gardeners here in Nashville and the folks that are interested. To go to your website, look it up, and see what might be fun for you to get.
Mm-hmm. It's a great way to dip your toe in, not risk too much money, and have some communal support. Like the day of pickup, people talk to each other and share knowledge, and there's a lot of good people in this city.
Let me just point this out. You and I spoke before we went on the air. Mm-hmm. This is not a fundraising type of situation that you're doing.
No, we just build in our costs, basically shipping, a little bit of handling, and then we do try to raise a little bit of side funding for Shelby as a thanks for letting them. They host our pickup at the airplane hangar. So I think we raised $500 last time, and then they take that money, they match it, and they spend all of it on native plants that they are putting in around the nature center at Shelby. Right. There's a new kid play area that they're building out. So it's a very wonderful reciprocal. But overall, it's not a, the main goal isn't a fundraiser.
Let me ask you this too, for people that may be interested. Are there volunteer opportunities for people that are interested in supporting this sort of thing?
Yes. So our growth was astronomical between that first buy-in with neighbors and the second one. It was over 200 families and we had 4,000 plants.
Wow.
So we were falling into bed covered in dirt, you know, Biko was taking off work just to prep the kits. So we will take volunteers. The best way to contact, I need to add something to the website about this, sorry. If you could email us, it's n4nativeplants@gmail.com.
Okay.
And just let us know if you're available the week before April 27th. That's
right.
When we put the kits together.
Right, and if anybody is having trouble getting a hold of them, just email me at the podcast.
Yes.
And we'll make sure that you get linked up.
Yeah.
I'm sure at the time of the distribution and all, there needs to be a bunch of hands involved.
Yes.
Right.
Yep. And then the day of, people, we've had people help with the plants who are pretty knowledgeable. We have neighbors and friends, Phil and Taylor, are native plant gurus, and so they help teach people about it. So,
well, people when they pick them up will have questions.
Absolutely.
Okay. So
of
you'll
all
be
all ranges. Yes,
you'll be
there
to answer those questions.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
That's excellent. Excellent. Yep. All right, so one more time, neighborsfornativeplants.org. Sale going on through the end of March.
Yep.
And encourage people to look into that and to engage.
Yes, spread the word.
It's a good cause.
Yes.
Thank you, Bethany.
Thank you.